we abide in him, we will not sin. If we sin, it's because we're not in him. We've stepped outside. We want to abide and remain in him at all times. And when we do that, there will be no more sin. But what if, well, if we are his, he is our advocate. But that on that account, though, you know what I see is in the apostles, like Peter denied Christ, right? It's in Jesus said, "He that denies me before men, will I deny before my Father in heaven." He denied him three times on that one occasion, and the cock crew. Think about what a deep and hard lesson that was. He didn't just deny him once, but three times. But Jesus restored him. I do not think he ever denied Jesus again, do you? I think that was like Peter's thing. It's like he kind of, yeah, whenever people were around who didn't believe in Jesus, he tended to deny he even knew Jesus. Me, a Christian? Oh, no. No, I don't believe that nonsense. Do you think he ever did that again? Or like the time Paul spoke of in Galatians where he dissimulated and he would not eat with the Gentiles when certain Jews came along. It's Christian Jews from James. Certain came up from Jerusalem and he started eating, separating himself. And Paul rebuked him or withstood him, whatever. Do you think he kept up with that thing? You know, I think he kept on doing that, like everywhere he went for the rest of his life. Just can't overcome it. See, the promise in God is that we will, you know, he had to go through that. But the end of it is, my children, I write these things that you sin not. That you overcome. That you abide in him and that you remain. God wants us to remain in Christ. He wants us to abide in Christ, not to be flitting in and out of Christ. Though for a time, that may be sort of just the situation you find yourself in. But you got to know, this is absolute. Sin is outside of Jesus. In him is no sin. Whoever sins, when we sin, that's just showing we don't know him. That shows we haven't seen him. This is the words of the Apostle John. Now, if you have a preacher who wants to gainsay an apostle of God, let him say on. You know what? And he can take those words right with him to condemnation and damnation. Or repent. But either way, those words are going to be condemned. Because they're lies. This is what the apostles taught. Okay? If you don't like it, go study with someone else, and you should probably give up on, honestly, it's like your Christianity is going to become like a millstone hung about your neck. Because you're going to be taking the name on Jesus and blaspheming his name before the Gentiles because you don't abide in him. And they see your hypocrisy. So why do you think people don't want to call themselves Christian anymore? Because it's such a bad rap. I wear it anyways. I'm not going to let them own that. I'm spiritual. Or I'm a follower of Jesus, now they like to say. Good for you. I'm a follower of his too. But I'm not just a follower. I'm an imitator. I want to imitate him. Oh, you think you're something else, don't you? It's like, no. If I'm going to live eternally, I have to be an imitator of him. I have to do what he did. Otherwise, I won't live forever. And that's one of my interests, so to speak. I want to live. I like living. And I'd like it to continue beyond this meager existence here. I want to find that way. You know, when I first saw the Shroud of Turin, it moved on me a great deal. Not the first time I saw it, but when I first saw it for what it was. When I found out about the mistakes that had been made in the 80s and so on and so forth, and how I became convinced it was authentic. And I looked at that and I said, that man found a way to, you know, his words rang in my ears, narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leadeth to life. And I saw the image of him as being an image of the instant of resurrection. And like, and I thought, the way he lived exemplified that narrow way that leads to life. We have to live like he did, or we will not enter into life. Unless our righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, unless it exceed the righteousness of James Dobson, unless it exceed the righteousness of Billy Graham, unless it exceed the righteousness of all those guys on television, on the radio, unless it exceed their righteousness, you will not enter into life. My righteousness has to exceed all that. It has to be like his righteousness. And that, they will hate you. It's one thing to say you're righteous, but to actually be it and have God testify of it in works, powerful works. That is a testimony. It's a testimony I don't have, but I know I need to have it. And you know what? I believe I'm going to get it. Because God is faithful to his word, he's faithful to his promises, and he's faithful to his chosen. If I'm his chosen, he'll be faithful to me. If not, then I'm just going to be a castaway. And honestly, I have such a love for this God, if that, I would be sorely disappointed. But my faith is such that I don't... Who could say, being found in that position, how they would react? I'd probably fulfill the scripture. You know, curse God and die. But still, it's hard for me to see that. Because the God I teach, I do love. Of great admiration. A great desire to obtain all those things that he's promised. A desire for others to obtain it as well. Not to make disciples for myself. The reason I say these things is because I think these are the true things. I think these are the things that are going to help you. I'm not here to lead away disciples. I'm here to help you become like Christ. That's all. Verse 7. Listen. You, little children. Little children. He was old, you know? John was one of the last apostles to die by tradition. And the word of the Lord seemed to agree with that. But it says, little children, let no man deceive you.